All right, good morning. Take your Bibles, please, with me, and find the book of Philippians, please. Philippians chapter 3. Yesterday, Brother Armacost asked who had been up to Kennan, and I saw a bunch of hands, but I didn't quickly get to see. If you could do that again, how many of you have been up there before? Because I saw more hands than I thought. All right. Jimmy, I remember you went to the emergency room when you came up there. You cut his hand, so I remember that. And some of you have been up for singing and helping in the summer with Vacation Bible School with Brother Amos, and I do appreciate you guys doing that. And all right, we're in Philippians chapter 3. Yesterday I preached to you on being a finisher as compared to comparing the life of Paul and Demas. And this morning I want to remind you of some spiritual fundamentals that will help you to finish your race for the Lord. And I'm just going to try to just be really simple. You'll not have trouble. I made it so simple that even you girls will be able to grasp today. Oh, I made enemies. I'm just kidding. You know that saying that boys are made of frogs and snails and puppy dog tails. I think that's how it goes. But girls are sugar and spice and everything nice. And you girls are full of that. Otherwise, we wouldn't end up marrying you, right? And guys are a bunch of meatheads. I don't know why you would choose the guys. But the Lord brings people together. How many of you boys or young men are already called to preach? So you know that God has called you to preach. All right, good. Wonderful. Good. Wonderful. Stick with that. All right, let's take our Bibles. Let's look in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 12. It says, Paul said, "Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded, and if any in anything you be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereunto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing." And let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, for this morning. I thank you again for the opportunity to stand here. And Lord, I pray that you'd please fill me with your Spirit. I pray that I would have strength and power from you to relay the message. And Lord, I believe it's what you've given me for the young people today. And I pray that it might be received. I pray that you'd quiet our hearts. I pray that you would help us to dismiss other things that are on our mind just for a few minutes and begin to open our heart to the Word of God to receive it. I pray that this message might be a help and a blessing for Jesus' sake. In Jesus' name, amen. In this passage of Scripture, Paul is giving a personal testimony of what is happening in his life. And then he challenged us to do our best for God. If you look in verse 12, we see that Paul did not feel like that he had arrived. He was not satisfied with his spiritual attainments. He said, "Not as though I had already attained." And then in verse 13, Paul says, "I count not myself to have apprehended." Again, Paul is saying, I've not arrived spiritually, and he's admitting that he does not always win the battle. He's admitting that he does not always do everything that he should. There's a passage in the Bible, he talked about that inner wrestling in his soul. The things that I want to do, I don't do. The things that I would do, I do not. Have you feel that sometimes? We all have that flesh. And so Paul, one of the greatest Christians that ever lived, is being very transparent. He said, I haven't arrived. But in his heart, and I hope it's in your heart too, that you're not satisfied with your failures. That you want to press on. That you want to get victory over sin. That you want to succeed for God. And that's your prayer. And I hope that that's the case this morning. So he says, I've not arrived, but I've not stopped trying to please the Lord with my life. And in verse 13, he says, I'm putting the past behind me. And I'm pressing on for the future. And this also is good for us to do. The mistakes that you make in the past, once they're behind, you cannot go back and fix them. but you can get on your knees and you can truly repent of it and ask God to forgive you. And then you can put it behind you and you say, with the grace, by the grace of God and with the help of God, I don't want to ever do that again. I want to press on towards the future. The devil will come and he'll remind you again and again. And, you know, look at you. Look what you did. Look what you said. But you just keep looking to Jesus. And the blood of Christ cleanses us from all unrighteousness. And I'm glad it does. Verse 14, Paul said, I'm pressing on. I'm pressing forward. And he was determined. Verse 13, notice what he said. He said, this one thing I do. You know, in life, you can't do everything. Some people are very talented. They can sing and they can preach and they can play basketball and every sport they play, that they are the star player. But there's a few gifted people like that, but not a lot. But Paul said, this one thing I've determined to do. And that's what we need, a single focus, that we're going to live for God. And he's determined to do that. Now, in verse 15, Paul encourages us to be like-minded. He said, let us also be determined, like he was, to put the past behind us and press on for the future for the Lord. Let us also press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling in God in Christ Jesus. Now, come to verse 16, and let's look at that again. It says, nevertheless, whereunto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Paul has already told us that he has not attained all that he wants to attain. But here he says, let's keep doing the things that we have attained. Nevertheless, he says, whereunto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same words, the same thing. In other words, keep doing the same things that you know to be right, that you have attained, and that you have got a grasp on, so that you can continue to build on that foundation. Don't forget, in other words, don't forget the fundamental things that you've learned. Keep walking in them. Keep doing them. So this morning, for the time that we have, I want to speak to you on spiritual fundamentals for your life. And again, it's going to be very simple. You may not be a great preacher. You may never be a great soloist. You may never be famous. But if you will do the fundamentals consistently, you can be greatly used for God. You can finish your race for God. And there are certain fundamental things that we can do that will help us to be a success for the Lord. Good coaches stress doing the fundamentals. As you think of fundamentals, you think of basic things, simple things. Yet the basic and simple things are the fundamental building blocks from which everything else is laid. The fundamental of basketball are layups and passing and free throws and defense and dribbling. Three-point shots and hook shots, behind-the-back passes and dunking, those are all fun to watch. But they're not necessary to win the game. When I was in high school, I used to go to a basketball camp in the summers. And I really enjoyed that, enjoyed basketball camp. But at the beginning of the week, and through much of the week, we would work on the fundamentals. Layups, there was the, how many know what the Mike and drill is? There you get on one side of the basket, you make a right-handed layup, and then you come down to left, right. It's a drill that you just keep doing. Shooting drills, passing drills, dribbling. They had these glasses that we looked so silly. They gave all the guys these glasses, these little blue, baby blue glasses, and they had a little visor underneath. There was nothing in the lens, but a little visor. And they made us wear all these glasses, and you had to dribble without looking at the ball. That was to keep you from looking down. And it really helped, because when you're not looking, you get better. That was one of the drills that we had to do. Those were the fundamental things that they were working with. And then at the end of the week, we'd practice and drill and drill. And at the end of the week, then we'd have scrimmages. And that was the fun time, where you got to put into practice the things that you had learned and play games against the other guys that were there. But every basketball player may not be able to dunk or make hook shots or no-look passes, but every basketball player can learn the fundamental things, layups and free throws and defense and dribbling. The fundamentals are what win the game. Many basketball games have been lost by teams not making their free throws. If you guys watch sports, you know it comes down to if they make one team makes the free throws and others don't. And it's the game a lot of times is won by a fundamental thing. They may have had five dunks in the game, but they missed their free throws and they lost the game. because they could not play fundamental basketball. So we see that fundamentals are essential to winning the game. And I want to read you something perhaps you've heard before by a famous football coach named Vince Lombardi. How many have heard of Vince Lombardi? All right. How many are Packer fans? Oh, man. How many are Bear fans? How many don't care about it at all? All right. We have a young lady in our Christian school who is a real big Bears fan. And she wanted my wife to make her some culottes out of Bears materials. My wife went to the to the store and got some material and made her those culottes. And it was right around the time where the Packers played the Bears. Of course, the Bears lost. And so I nicknamed her culottes. Those are culottes of shame. And so when she wears those, she's wearing her culottes of shame. But let me read you what Vince Lombardi said, or what is said about him. The late football strategist Vince Lombardi was a fanatic about fundamentals. Those who played under his leadership often spoke of his intensity, his drive, his endless enthusiasm for the guts of the game. Time and again, he would come back to the basic techniques of blocking and tackling. On one occasion, his team, the Green Bay Packers, lost to an inferior squad. It was bad enough to lose, but to lose to that team was absolutely inexcusable. Coach Lombardi called a practice the very next morning. The men sat silently, looking more like whipped puppies than a team of champions. They had no idea what to expect from the man they feared the most. Gritting his teeth and staring holes through one athlete after another, Lombardi began, "Okay, we're going back to the basics this morning." And then holding up a football high enough for all to see, he continued to yell, "This is a football." He said, "We're going back to the beginning. If you guys cannot do the fundamental things, we're never going to win games." And that was the point that he was making. Now this morning I want to give you seven brief fundamental things. And just as you know, or they knew what a football was, you're going to know everything I'm going to tell you. But I'm going to remind you of it, that they're fundamental things that we need in our life. Spiritual fundamental number one, Bible reading. Bible reading. I could hold this up just like Vince Lombardi did and say, "This is the Bible. 66 books in all, 27 in the New, 39 in the Old, the inerrant, inspired, perfect Word of God. Read it. Get to know it very well. This will be your main tool in the ministry. Fill yourself with the Word of God. Read it daily. Begin every day by reading the Bible. It's how God speaks to us. It will keep us straight and true and right. Someone said this book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book." And that's very true, isn't it? Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8 said, "This book of the law shall not depart out of my mouth or thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." Proverbs 28:9 says, "He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be an abomination." If you're not interested in hearing from God in the morning, then he's not interested in hearing from you. Psalm 119:105 said, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." Well, what am I supposed to do with my life? I don't know what to do here or there. Read the Bible. He'll give you light. He'll use preaching. He'll use the convicting of the Spirit of God as you read and as you study. Psalm 119:130 says, "The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple." And so when you read the Bible, it will give you light. It will open your understanding. College students this morning, read your Bible. It's fundamental. It's a basic thing. But it's the very most important thing to win in the game of life and service for God. I wonder this morning, are you spending time with God every morning in His Word? You need to decide to read the Bible every day. Every day, every day, every day, every day. as a young boy, early, not even a teenager yet, I, of course, got in the habit of reading my Bible. And I can say, I believe, in all honesty, over all these years, I can probably count on both these hands, over 20, 30, almost 30 years, the times that I've missed reading the Bible. And I'm not bragging. I'm just saying I'm determined to do it. If there's nothing else going to get done, I'm going to read the Bible. Because I need it. Because I'm a sinner. And I need God to tune me up every single morning. Is your relationship with God? It's through the Bible. And so it's vital to read it every day. Find a place in your room or in the dorm every morning to meet God. And then so we see that fundamental number one, read your Bible. Let me give you number two. Fundamental number two, pray. Pray. Talk to God. Be a man of prayer. Be a woman of prayer. John R. Rice said this, all of our problems are prayer problems. Think about that. Think about that. Pray daily. Pray without ceasing. You really can pray all the time. By that I mean stay in a spirit of prayer. I mean at the drop of a hat you're ready to pray. You're walking to class and you've got a test. And as you're walking, you're, Lord, help me today. Something else comes to mind, somebody on your bus route or somebody that you're trying to invite to church or needs to be saved. And as you go throughout the day, Lord, pray for so-and-so. And you're keeping yourself in a spirit of prayer. You can pray as you drive, but keep your eyes open. It's not a spiritual thing to pray with your eyes open, just so you know, or with your eyes closed. I don't think that's very spiritual. But you can pray. Often in our town, as I drive by the houses throughout the day, as I'm driving, I pray for our people. Every time I go by one of our churches, I pray for them. You need to be in the spirit of prayer. Like Bible reading, have a definite time to in a place of prayer. Luke 18:1 says, men ought always to pray and not to faint. Philippians 4:6 says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Are you concerned? Are you anxious about something this morning? Then pray. Talk to God. Young men, are you praying? Young ladies, are you praying? When was the last time you got on your face before God and really poured out your heart to God? When was the last time that God came down and met with you in prayer? Real prayer, listen, real prayer, not surface prayer, will draw you close to God. When was the last time that there was a wet spot because the tears that you shed while talking to God? Has it ever been like that for you? You're just pouring out your heart. And God comes and He's real and you're getting hold of God. When was the last time you had an answered prayer? James 5:16 says, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Do you believe that? God said it. Elijah prayed, that's the passage referring to, that it wouldn't rain. And it didn't. Because the man of God asked God for something. And then he said, the effectual prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So how is your prayer life, college student? Prayer is where the power is. Prayer is how we get things from God. Several years ago, I was preaching in our church in the book of Acts, and I was preaching on the power of prayer and to our church and talking about the story where the people prayed Peter out of prison. And I challenged the people to pray, and I remember saying to them that things that can be gotten no other way can be gotten through prayer. Monday morning, I went to church and or to get the school going and then got the school going. And then I was thinking, my heart and mind were on this prayer. And I went home to pray. At the time, we were praying for a van for a ministry and for the church. So I was in the living room and I was on the floor praying to God. Been there for a while praying and just talking to the Lord. And as I'm praying, the phone rang. And I got up and answered the phone, and it was Chester Stockman. You guys know Chester Stockman. He said, hey, Pastor Morrow. He said, I want to let you know that we want to give you a van. And it was an answer to prayer. Nobody here knew what we were praying about, but God knew. And time and again, those things can happen, and they have happened. God answers prayer. Prayer is real. So, fundamental number one, read your Bible. Fundamental number two, pray. It's fundamental. Fundamental number three, be faithful. 1 Corinthians 4, 2 says, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Not everyone can sing, not everyone is outgoing, not everyone has a spiritual or special talent per se, but everyone can be faithful. Make up your mind to be faithful. Be faithful to the tasks that you're involved in now, in the ministries that God has for you now. And God will give you more. A couple of summers ago, my wife and I and the children, we went out to see her family. We went to Yellowstone. We saw that Old Faithful. You've heard of Old Faithful. And every 25 to 120 minutes or 35 to 120 minutes, something like that, it erupts. And it's neat to see. You sit there and wait and wait and wait, and all of a sudden it comes. But it does it every, almost on the hour, for years and years and years and years. Isn't that a picture of faithfulness for us? Just be faithful. Just be faithful. I don't feel like I have a lot of talents. I can't sing. I don't think that I'm a great preacher, but I can be faithful. And I can work as hard as the next guy, and so can you. Be faithful to whatever God calls you to do. If you'll just remain faithful, you can be a success for God. So, read your Bible. It's fundamental. Pray. It's fundamental. Be faithful. It's fundamental. Then, spiritual fundamental number four, have faith in God. Have faith in God. Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Faith is a fundamental thing that God requires of His servants. Three times in the Scripture, the Bible says, the just shall live by faith. Have you figured out what that means yet? If not, you will. You will. God has called us to live a life of faith. If you're ever going to do anything for God, it will take faith. When God calls to start a church, we were down in Ocean Springs, Mississippi. After I graduated from college, we went down to serve the Lord for a couple years down there, about a mile from the coast. You couldn't get any farther south without being in the ocean. And God stirred our hearts, and God made it clear that we were supposed to go start a church way up in the boondocks in northern Wisconsin. And so we got it, rented the U-Haul. I was the principal of the school. I finished out that and told the pastor and everything, talked about everything, and got in the U-Haul, and we drove 1,300 miles to the north, and kept getting less and less as you get there. But God had made it clear, and it was God said, you know, that this saying on the stone out there is so true. Find God's will and do it. And God made it clear, and so we left. I didn't have a job, didn't have a promise of anything. And maybe I was foolish, but I just knew that God told us to do that. And so, no support. I wrote a letter to, I think, five pastors and our sending church and two other churches. Sent us a support for $400 a month. And that just covered just where we lived. And we went there and we started knocking on doors and started visiting people, got a part-time job. And God began to work and bless. But it was a promise of nothing, really, a promise of nothing other than God said, go. It takes faith. For the last 10 years, God has met our needs in miraculous ways. Seeing souls saved, lives changed, a church and a Christian school established, but it was by faith. And it still is. You know that? God still makes you walk by faith. We've got this big school building, old school building, 14,000 square feet, and it's a bear to heat. Last month, our heating bill was $3,500 just for our little church. But time and again, God has blessed. You know, at first you get there and you don't know what's going to happen. How are we ever going to heat this? And so you pray and then you work and you go to the mailbox. You go to the mailbox, and I just praise God. Money would come from Canada, from Florida, from all different places. Pastor heard about your ministry. Put this towards your heat bill. And for 10 years, God has met that great need. And I just, it's by faith. You might laugh at me. I go in the furnace room. There's two big boilers. I put my hands and I pray for the boilers. I go to the fuel tanks, put my hands weekly or a couple times a week. Every time I check them, I go in there and I remember that story of the widow that the oil didn't run out. I say, Lord, make it last. I'm serious, I do. And whether it, you know, whatever it is, through a financial means or God just causing it to get more BTUs out of the whatever, God has made it last. If we'll trust Him by faith. By faith, Noah built the ark, having never seen rain. Think about that. By faith, Abraham left his home. He didn't know where he was going, but God said, go. By faith, Sarah had a child at almost 100 years age. By faith, Abraham offered up Isaac. By faith, Joseph told his family to take his bones when they left Egypt, knowing that by faith that they would leave eventually. By faith, Moses refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. By faith, the walls of Jericho came down. By faith, Rahab was spared. By faith, Gideon took an army of 300 men against thousands. And by faith, God wants to do great things through you and I. And I wonder how many things God wants to do in our lives, but He cannot because we won't trust Him by faith. Young people, have faith in God. He is a big God. There's nothing that He cannot do. Absolutely nothing. And so you can get on your knees with confidence and pray to a great, big, wonderful God. And He can take care of any need that you have. Have faith in God. That's what Jesus told His disciples. They were confused and they were struggling. And Jesus looked at them and He said those words. He said, have faith in God. And how we need to hear that. And then fundamental number five, give. Give. Giving to God is fundamental. The tithe is the Lord's. It's cut and dry, and there's no argument about it. Malachi 3:10 says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. Do what God has said. It's fundamental. And may I say, the tithe is just the beginning, just the starting point. Learn to be a generous giver. Turn with me to Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6, quickly, in verse 38. Luke chapter 6 and verse 38. Look at this verse. It says, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. You can take God at His word. And here He's telling us to give. To give. Give to the church, obviously. Give to those in need. Help. Be a generous giver. You can take all your funds and you can put it in the little can and you can go and sit on your little can. And never give out anything. And you can be so tight that when you open your wallet, George Washington squints because he's not seen daylight for so long. You can be like that. But if you'll open your hands, the Bible says, open your hands to the poor and to the work of God. And you decide that I'm going to give to God. You'll find this verse to be so, I could just testify 100 things that God has blessed because you give. And all that I have, it's all yours, God, and I'm trusting you. I want to be a channel. God will use people. He'll funnel funds through certain people who won't hang on to it. They'll let it pass through their hands to meet me. It's fun. It's fun. Be generous. Give, it says, with the same measure that you meet, it shall be measured to you again. Paul said this. He said, I'm willing. I'm talking about the ministry now. Paul said, I'm willing to spend and be spent for the cause of Christ. Are you struggling with bringing the bus treat? I know you don't have much money. I know you're having a hard time. Paul said, I'm willing to spend what I have. And I'm willing to be spent. My time, I'm going to be tired, I'm going to be worked, but I'm willing for the cause of Christ. Then quickly, let me give you two last fundamentals I have for you. Spiritual fundamental number six, hate sin. Hate sin. The Bible says this, ye that love the Lord, hate evil. Psalm 97:10. We must hate sin, hate it in the world and hate it in our own lives. If you don't hate sin, you'll never get it out of your life. And if you don't get it out of your life, it'll eventually destroy you. Hate sin. God says, hate it. Hate it. It's fundamental. Read your Bible. It's fundamental. Pray. It's fundamental. Be faithful. It's fundamental. Have faith in God. It's fundamental. Give. It's fundamental. Hate sin. These are fundamental things that we're to do. And then lastly, spiritual fundamental number seven, love God. Love God. I hope that you do. I hope that you do. The Bible says we love Him. Why? Because He first loved us. If you're here and you've trusted Jesus as your Savior and He's cleansed you of all your sins, given you a home in heaven. We love Him because He first loved us. Do you love God? Is your love for God, does it just overwhelm you sometimes and you just tell God, I just love you, thank you for saving my soul? Love is the natural response for all that God has done for us, and we prove our love to God by obeying Him. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. A man came to Jesus one day asking a question. He said, what's the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. Love God, young people. Love Him. It's fundamental. I wonder this morning, do you love God as you ought to? The things that I've given you this morning are not the end of the Christian life. There's much more. But these are foundational things. The fundamentals by which you build your life upon. Now, if the message has been repetitive this morning, it's been that way by design. I want you to remember. Read your Bible. Pray. Have faith in God. Give. Hate sin. Just keep doing those things. Paul said, let us walk by the same rule. Let us keep these things. And if you do, and if you'll practice them all your days of your life, you can be a success for God if you'll just do the fundamentals. Let's bow for prayer. Heads bowed and eyes closed, let me just ask you the question this morning. How many would slip up your hand and say, Pastor, pray for me. I truly want those fundamentals in my life. Could I see your hand? That's my heart. I want those things. I want to practice those things. All right, I see your hands, and I'll pray for you. After I pray, why don't you come? Why don't you come and kneel and tell God, I want to practice these things. I hope maybe you got a chance to write them down. Think about them this week.